Jars of clay are very fragile. And how many of you have discovered that your mortal body is very fragile?
Haven't you?
But yet, even so, these fragile bodies, these jars of clay, contain a great treasure. And what is that treasure? The treasure is the gospel. It's the hope of eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Join us as we remember a member of our church family.
Good morning. I want to welcome you this morning to this service in which we will be celebrating the life of Frank Hobbold and also giving thanks for the eternal life which he had and has right now in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are here today in order to pay our respects to a dear husband, a father, a grandfather, a brother, a friend, and a brother in Christ. We're here to reflect on who he was and how much he meant to us, but we're also here to be comforted in our sorrow and to be encouraged by the knowledge that Frank is now in the presence of his Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. O Lord, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And we humbly ask you to look down upon our grieving hearts and to be gracious to us. Help us to cast every care upon you, and through your mercy and grace find comfort and peace. And may this service be honoring to Frank's memory, honoring to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask you all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, folks, in just a few weeks, we're going to be celebrating Easter once again. But, you know, we don't need to wait a few weeks to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, do we? We can do that every day as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in just a moment, I want to read the account from the Gospel of Matthew about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he lives, we have the hope then that we too shall live forever in his name. Matthew tells us this, "Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay, and then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. You will see him. See, I have told you.' So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, 'Greetings.' And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.'" Amen.
Hello, my name's Tom, and we are gathered here today to honor my dad, Frank Hobbold. My father was raised in Indiana and had to help his mom with providing support for their family at an early age. My dad was a hardworking man, and I can remember as a little boy of 6 years old when he was building a home in Richmond, and it was winter, and he had to shovel the deck of the home off of all the snow from the night before. I sat in the truck with it running, the heat was on, and watched him work what seemed like the whole day. This showed me what hard work was like. I can remember as a young boy falling asleep and him waking me up the next morning saying it was time to get up and go to school. That night felt like 5 minutes of sleep, and I said to my dad, "I just wanted to sleep," and he said, "No, son, you need to get up and go to school." And I can remember when my brother Randy was born in 1970, and my dad was given a special assignment from my mom to sneak a Pepsi up to her hospital room. Mission accomplished, wrapped in tinfoil. vacationing time, traveling with my parents and my brother, with us acting like kids, up into Wisconsin to see our Aunt Vi and Uncle Vic in Hayward. And let's say sometimes my dad was challenged with maps. But we finally arrived, but later into the night than expected. My dad was a carpenter, and when he and Mom moved from Chicago to Wonder Lake in 1968, he had belonged to the Carpenters Union for a short period of time. Just a few years ago, he had shared with me that he had helped work on the Turnberry Country Club that was built in the 70s. Working with our dad, you had better wrap up the extension cords the right way, and if you had asked to borrow his tools when you were at home, you needed to put them back where you found them, was the quote we were always told. When working with my dad, if you happened to make a mistake, he would call you Fritz. And he would joke with us about what took place and how to correct it in a good way. I can remember helping my dad tar a new home foundation. It's called waterproofing. And when I got home that night, I don't think my mom was very happy as all the clothes went into the trash. Dad had built a lot of homes in the McHenry County area and at one time had a crew of six men working with his company, which was called Frank Hubbard and Sons General Contractors. I can remember as a child our dad calling our name when dinner would be ready, when my brother and I would be riding our bikes down the street from our home. Our dad's voice could carry, and when he called you, we'd better come home quickly or else. Growing up here at the Bible Church, we were involved with church activities. One was going to Valley High Nursing Home on Sunday afternoons. Dad loved to sing, but was not choir material, but had a great heart for singing. I remember growing up, our dad helped to do cleaning here at the church, and afterwards we would get to practice driving in the church parking lot on the way out. Looking through my dad's Bible, I found some passages of scripture I'd like to share with you. Mark 16:15, he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation." Galatians 6:7-10, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers." Ephesians 5:15-21, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Always give thanks to God, the Father, for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then Philippians 2:1-5, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one spirit and in one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus." What I learned from my dad was hard work won't hurt you. It'll make you strong. Love the Lord and serve God, and he won't disappoint you in your life. He worked every day of his life to provide for us. The Lord gave me 50 years to learn from him, and I'm blessed to have that time with him. When I think back of the pictures of our dad, he is happy to see him with his children and later in life, grandchildren, and then great-grandchildren. He loved our mom with all his heart. The impact of their marriage has had on my life, and what I have learned has been invaluable to me. This is what true love is all about. I would be remiss if I did not say that I would have liked to have one more visit, hug, or great conversation with him, but I know he is now being able to eat again and is no more in pain and is having all the ice cream he can in heaven. And Dad loved ice cream. Dad, you will be missed. We love you, and we will see you when we get to heaven.
Thanks, brother. Well, I'm Randy. I'm the youngest of four. Our dad had a great example. Over the years, being able to work with him, doing the carpentry, teaching me a skill, it's been invaluable. Our dad was always a great sense of humor, always joking around. As you see from the pictures out there, of sometimes he dressed in some of the costumes and stuff, I was just like, what was he thinking? You know? Every time Halloween came around, I was just like, what is he going to dress up this year? You know? But it was great. He had a great sense of humor, but he had a great heart. And working with him was phenomenal. Just learning the skill. There's so many people that I didn't really realize over the years how many lives he touched just by being able to teach them the building trades. If anybody had a question, he would be out there building. And that goes for numerous people here that they had in the trades, whether it's plumbing, electrical, carpentry, you name it. It just was phenomenal growing up here in the church, just seeing the love and just seeing Dad's heart, where his heart was. Some of his sayings over the years, I remember, do unto others as you would have done unto you. And that just resonated. It still resonates. And even in his later years, he'd always would try to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he made a wooden booth with a speaker on it. I thought it was a karaoke machine. And he's like, it's not a karaoke machine. It's so he can go ahead in the nursing facility and that he can get up and he can tell people about Jesus Christ. And it's a speaker so people can hear. And his heart was there. His business cards were there. Just trying to hand out tracts. So that was a great example. A couple of the other memorable moments I have coming here, as my brother Tom has mentioned, cleaning. We come here at the nights and clean. And just to be taught, the proper way of doing things. And so when you're older, how to clean, how to do things, how to take care of yourself. And he was a great example. Learning to drive in the parking lot, that was a fun thing. We get to take the garbage down in a dumpster. So he taught us very well. He laid out a great example, and we're very grateful for that. The other memorable moments I had when we were building, we were framing out a master bedroom, he laid out all the stuff on bottom plates and top plates and markings. I was throwing the 2x4s in, framing up the walls, got all the walls framed up for the bedroom. It was lunchtime. We had lunch, and then we started laughing hysterically at each other. We forgot to frame in the doorway to the bedroom. And I says, you didn't lay them out on the top plates. And he goes, you didn't say anything. I was on a roll just getting the studs, because he always wanted to see something accomplished at the end of the day building. And that was great because you can look back on something, and there's numerous homes around the area that he built, and it was really good, So there's great memories, absent from the body, present with the Lord. One book that was really great for me was 1 Minute After You Die. It's by Pastor Erwin Lutzer. He was with the Moody Church for many years. Phenomenal book, phenomenal things to read about. So I could just encourage anybody, if they did anything more, to pick it up. It's been phenomenal. Just answers all the questions you have still. But right now, he is able. As my older brother was saying, he's not physically disabled where he can't, swallow. Or these, our body's a tent. It will fail one day. But you know what? With faith in Christ, that's what we have, and that's where our hope is. We will see him again someday. So that's where we have our faith. The memorable times we'll have, and as Apostle Paul said, you know, we need to run the race in life, and we need to finish well. And he finished great. Thanks for Christ for her. Thanks for Christ for, you know, paying the penalty. That's where our hope is. I'm so grateful for having the time with him. I was able to be with him the Wednesday evening before he passed. Just to have that time was invaluable to share with him, to pray with him, and just to be there for him. And I'm so grateful for everybody to be here too. As you go out on the table too, there's some wonderful crosses. Please take one. My older brother Don was able to make them. He also, with his woodworking skills, made the urn here in front. It's been great, phenomenal. And it's just great to see what the craftsmanship can still carry on. So thanks again for everybody showing up. It's been wonderful, and really appreciate it. And then there's food afterwards, don't forget.
So Tom, Randy, thank you. I know that's not easy to get up and speak. Just to get up and speak for some, but especially in circumstances like this, I know that's not easy. But you know, one of the things that Tom had mentioned is that Frank really loved ice cream. And rumor has it that we're going to be serving ice cream at the luncheon, right? So there's something to look forward to with that. But the fact is, though, there's something better that we have to look forward to. And that's the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back, that he will return. And when he comes again, he is going to fashion and transform his mortal remains, our remains, into bodies which are like his glorious resurrection body. And we are given this assurance and this encouragement in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18, where the Apostle Paul says, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For we declare to you by a word from the Lord that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." Amen. Well, folks, we can be comforted and encouraged today by the fact that although Frank is absent from the body, he is present with the Lord. And he is now experiencing the reality of the hope of eternal life. And this is our hope in Christ, that God will indeed complete the good work that he has begun in Frank, the good work that he has begun in all of us who have put our trust, our faith, our confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sin and the hope of eternal life. And as we have just read in the scriptures and has been sung here, one day soon, Jesus is going to return. And when he does, he will transform those mortal remains there, fashion them anew in the likeness of his own glorious resurrection body, no longer subject to sorrow, to pain, or to death. And while Frank was with us in his mortal body, he suffered with the pains and afflictions of the mortal body. And there is a scripture passage in 2 Corinthians which refers to our mortal bodies as jars of clay. Jars of clay are very fragile. And how many of you have discovered that your mortal body is very fragile, haven't you? But yet, even so, these fragile bodies, these jars of clay, contain a great treasure. And what is that treasure? The treasure is the gospel. It's the hope of eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. And that is a great treasure which Frank came to know and possess. He believed in Jesus, and he received from Jesus the gift of forgiveness of sin and eternal life in his name. He believed in the gospel, the great treasure that God has given us. And he loved to share that gospel hope with everyone he knew. Scripture tells us this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus, so that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. So we live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you. But we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, "I believed in God, so I spoke." We know that God, who raised the Lord Jesus, will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. All of this is for your benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving. And God will receive more and more glory. And that is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed day by day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. They don't always seem so small, and they don't seem like it's going to last long sometimes, does it? But in comparison to eternity, it will. But there he says something amazing. He says, yet these present troubles, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is, when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands. We grow weary in our present bodies, and we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. For we will put on heavenly bodies. We will not be spirits without bodies. While we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh. But it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. And God himself has prepared us for this. And as a guarantee, he has given us his Holy Spirit. So we are always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord. For we live by believing and not by seeing. Yes, we are fully confident, and we would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we will be at home with the Lord. So whether we are here in this body or away from this body, our goal is to please him. For we must all stand before Christ to be judged, and we will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body. Now, Frank, he was pressed on every side. He was pressed by troubles, but he was not crushed. He was perplexed, but he was not driven to despair. And he was never abandoned by God. He was knocked down, but he was not destroyed. And through suffering, he shared in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus would be seen in him even now. He lived in the face of death, but the result has been eternal life. And God will raise him along with all of us in Christ. His present troubles have passed, and they have been used by God to produce a glory that vastly outweighs his suffering that will last forever. His earthly tent has been taken down, but he has an eternal home with the Lord, an eternal body which awaits him. He has departed the mortal body, but he will soon put on the eternal body. And so let us all determine to share in that hope and make it our goal to please Christ, whether we are at home in the mortal body or away from it, as Frank is now. You see, our weak mortal bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That is, they cannot live forever. Now, aren't you glad that if we have promised eternal life in Jesus Christ, that doesn't mean that we're going to live forever in bodies like these? Could you imagine living in these bodies forever? Bodies which are subject to pain and sickness and suffering and death? No, these bodies are not fit for that, and that's why the Scripture tells us that God is going to fashion anew these remains into glorious eternal bodies. You know, there's something I like to share sometimes with those who are members or attenders of our church here, something that I've shared before, just a tiny little illustration about the power of God. So some of you have heard this, but many of you have not. So if you who have heard this, if you'd indulge me just one more time on this. You know, as we stand here, as we are reflecting upon this reality, this hope of eternal life, and think about what kind of power would it take to fashion mortal remains like these into a glorious, eternal, powerful resurrection body like that of Jesus. What kind of power would it take? Does God have the power to do something like that, do you think? Well, we say, well, yeah, of course he does, because, well, God has all power, right? There's nothing that's impossible for God. He has all power. And then I was reading something one day that just like, wow, talk about a perspective adjustment. Here's just a little tiny little illustration about the power of God that we can't even begin to fathom, even this. And as I want you to think for just a moment, what kind of power does it take to power human civilization for one day? Think about that, the power that is currently keeping the lights on and that cooked the food here today. Think about the power that is expended every day on planet Earth to run human civilization. How much power is that? Well, did you know that every 2 seconds, so that's 1,000, one, two, one, two, our sun, that average little star about 93 million miles away from us, our sun generates enough power, and it's just floating out into space, enough power to run human civilization for 1 million years. Think about that. Every 2 seconds, one, enough power that's just going out into space from our star to run human civilization for 1 million years. And then you think about, well, that star, that sun, that's just one star out of a couple of 100 billion stars in our galaxy. And our galaxy is just one of a couple of 100 billion galaxies in the known universe. It boggles the mind. But then I heard something the other day, I read up on this the other day, that, I mean, that's incredible enough just to think about that. But then I read, did you know our star? There are stars much larger than our sun. How much larger? 10 times larger, would you say? How about 100 times larger? How about 1,000 times larger than our sun? How about 1,000,000 times larger than our sun? How about this? Did you know that there are stars that are billions of times larger than our sun? The largest star we know of, it's called UY Scutae. It is 5 billion times bigger than the sun. You could put 5 billion of our suns inside of it. What kind of power do you think that star is generating? And again, that is one star. Now, what does this have to do with the resurrection of God? Well, think about it. Who created UI Skutai and our sun and everything else that we see around us. Who created all of that by his power? And how did he do it? By willing it, by speaking it into existence from nothing. So what kind of power does God have? So I ask you again, is God going to have any difficulty raising these mortal remains? Does he have the power to raise this and transform it? The creation testifies of the glory and the power and the majesty of God, doesn't it? See, this is the hope of eternal life, that by God's power, through the suffering and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, through faith in him, is forgiveness of our sin and his eternal life in his name, and the promise that he will complete the work that he has begun in us, which is raising our mortal remains into glorious resurrection bodies. So for the believer then, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And Frank is present with the Lord now, but one day soon when Jesus returns, he will raise those remains. And then we, all who believe, will say along with Frank, death has been swallowed up in victory. We will ask, death, where is your victory? We will ask, death, where is your sting? And we will rejoice that the Lord Jesus Christ has conquered sin and death once and for all. And we will praise him, and we will worship him, and we will serve him, and we will enjoy him together forever and ever and ever. Amen. Now we're going to close our service here with a song that celebrates the amazing grace of God as revealed supremely to us in the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our help and our hope. And no matter what may come in this life, he is with us. And when our time on this earth is through, he will take us to himself that we may be with him forever and ever. Eternal God, you are the consolation and the support of all who trust in you. Would you grant your sustaining strength to our grieving hearts? And we thank you that we do not grieve as those who have no hope. We thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And we thank you that Frank had that hope in Jesus Christ and is now with you awaiting that great and glorious day of your return, when you will raise our mortal bodies and complete the wondrous work of salvation you have begun in us. Enable us, Lord, to look beyond this earthly life. Help us to see the things that are eternal, and grant that we may follow with true faith where you lead, so that when our days are finished upon this earth, we will find our eternal home with you. And we pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.